Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
Even in families where logic rules the house, there's sometimes one child who doesn't fit the pattern. Her parents were practical people. Her father especially, firmly skeptical, openly atheist, quick to dismiss anything that couldn't be measured or explained. Her mother had more room for faith, but even she didn't encourage ghost stories or imaginative dramatics. They divorced when she was 3, and after that, her life split between 2 ordinary homes with ordinary rules. There was nothing outwardly haunted about either place. If anything unusual was happening, it wasn't tied to an address. It was tied to her. When she was very young, between 2 and 5 years old, she would often tell her older brother the same thing. "The planets came last night." She said it casually, not frightened, not whispering. Just stating a fact the way kids announce that it rained while everyone was asleep. Her brother remembered it more clearly than she did. She only holds one solid memory from that time, but he insists she said it often. At the time, their parents brushed it off as imagination. Kids invent things. Kids merge dreams with reality. Kids say strange sentences and forget them by morning. But she didn't forget. The clearest memory happened when she was 5. She and her brother were sharing a bedroom in their dad's condo. It wasn't an old building. It didn't have creaky floorboards or heavy history. It was beige walls, carpet, and a closet that looked bigger at night than it did during the day. She couldn't sleep because the closet bothered her. Not because something had happened, just the normal childhood discomfort of a dark space that felt too deep. Then she turned toward the middle of the room. That's when she saw them. 8 or 9 small spheres, clear white in color, different sizes, floating together in a loose formation. They weren't glowing brightly, but they were visible, defined enough that she could track their movement. They drifted smoothly, almost gracefully, moving as a group rather than independently. Her mind searched for a label and landed on the only one that fit: planets. They were roughly the right number. They varied in size. They moved in a pattern that felt intentional rather than random. She sat up and shook her brother awake. "The planets are here." He woke quickly. He asked where. She pointed. The spheres continued gliding across the room, unbothered by their attention. Then, without speeding up or breaking formation, they moved under his bed and disappeared. Not rolled, not bounced, disappeared. Her brother's reaction stuck with her more than the sight itself. He didn't laugh. He didn't scold her. He didn't tell her to go back to sleep. He just stared and said something like, "Whoa." Years later, he would say that moment was the only time he almost believed her. There was another detail that unsettled him. The room she slept in during some of those years had once belonged to their other brother, the one who died as a baby before she was born. She never knew him. She grew up knowing his name and knowing the loss, but not knowing him as a person. It would have been simple if the orbs had only appeared in that room, but they didn't. They appeared in different homes, across both parents' houses. That's what her brother insists on now, that it wasn't one location. It was wherever she slept. What stands out most is that she wasn't afraid of them, and they were strange, yes, but they didn't feel hostile. They didn't move aggressively. They didn't approach her face or hover over her. They drifted, then vanished. Over time, she became used to them. She didn't talk to them or treat them like invisible friends. She simply watched. Eventually, they stopped appearing. There wasn't a final sighting. There wasn't a dramatic last night. One day, she realized she hadn't seen them in a long time. But around that same period, another experience began repeating itself, this time in dreams. It was always the same. She was walking alone through the cemetery where her deceased brother was buried. She felt lost but could hear her mother's voice calling her forward. As she followed the voice, the cemetery shifted. The ground became wet, the air thickened, the path dissolved into swamp water bordered by dark trees. She would find her mother in the water. She would run toward her, and she would arrive too late. Her mother would drown, then she would drown. Sometimes this ending would interrupt other dreams abruptly, cutting in like a scene spliced into the wrong film. She had it repeatedly in their first house, and then never again after they moved. She never told anyone. Dreams are easy to dismiss. She didn't want it explained away before she could understand it herself. After that, things quieted for several years. She grew into the normal interests of childhood, superheroes, fantasy, stories. There was one fleeting shadow she thought she saw rush across her room one morning, but even she admits that could have been imagination. The orbs were gone. The dream was gone. Life felt ordinary again. Until she was 10, and one night, fully awake in her bed, she heard a woman's voice say her name. The first voice came back into her life when she was 10, and it didn't arrive in a dream. She was sitting up in bed reading. It was still early, not even late enough for the house to feel different. She wasn't tired. She wasn't drifting in and out of sleep. She remembers that detail clearly because she went over it again and again later, trying to make sure she hadn't imagined it. A woman's voice said her name. It didn't echo through the room. It didn't sound like it came from the hallway. It landed somewhere strange, close enough to feel personal, but not anchored to a direction. Not fully inside her head, not fully outside of it either. It startled her, but it didn't scare her. The feeling that followed was calm, almost affectionate. She didn't sit up in panic. She didn't scream. She just paused, smiled slightly without knowing why, and went back to reading. When she told her mom about it, her mom didn't react with alarm. She suggested that if it hadn't frightened her, it might not have been something bad. In their Catholic framework, the spiritual world wasn't automatically dangerous. It was layered. It could include protection as easily as threat. Her dad dismissed it entirely. The split in reactions mirrored the split in households, belief on one side, skepticism on the other. About a year later, it happened again. She was lying in bed trying to fall asleep while her brother showered. The sound of running water echoed through the pipes and kept her awake. She was annoyed, staring at the ceiling, when a man's voice, deep and steady, said her name from above her. This time, the sensation felt heavier. Not loud, not booming, just solid. The emotion attached to it was warmth, a protective calm that spread through her chest. She relaxed immediately and fell asleep. She never tried to turn that into a grand spiritual moment. She didn't tell everyone she'd heard God. But privately, she wondered. Two voices, two different tones, both calm. The third voice did not carry the same comfort. She was 12. She was fully awake, scrolling through her old iPod Touch in bed. There was no confusion about whether she had been drifting off. She wasn't even tired. A younger man's voice spoke her name. The sound didn't feel like it reached her ears. It felt like it passed through her body. It was close, too close. And unlike the first two, it left behind discomfort instead of warmth. She sat very still afterward, her heart beating faster than it should have been for a quiet bedroom. She didn't feel attacked exactly, but she didn't feel safe either. That was the moment she stopped assuming every experience belonged in the same category. She researched what she could find. Fatigue can cause auditory distortions. The brain can misinterpret background noise. Hypnagogic hallucinations happen when you're drifting into sleep, but she hadn't been drifting. She had been awake. For a while, that was the extent of it. three voices over 2 years. Strange, but isolated. Then sixth and seventh grade arrived, and everything in her life felt unstable. Middle school is chaotic even without the supernatural layered on top of it. Friendships shifted constantly. Drama felt endless. She wasn't popular, and at 12, that felt catastrophic. Her grades slipped. Stress built quietly in her chest. Anger and sadness surfaced more easily than before. And as her emotional state darkened, the activity changed. The sense of being watched began during the day. Not just at night in bed, where imagination has more room to stretch, in the afternoon, in bright rooms, in hallways she had walked 100 times. She would be alone and suddenly feel as though someone stood just out of view. Then the children's voices began. They didn't address her directly at first. They sounded like hushed conversations happening nearby, 2 or 3 children whispering among themselves. She couldn't make out full sentences. The words were blurred, indistinct. But every now and then, she would hear her name woven into the murmuring. It carried that same strange quality, neither entirely inside her thoughts nor entirely audible in the room. Unlike the first 2 voices years earlier, these didn't feel warm. They felt crowded. One Wednesday night at her mom's house, she was lying in bed listening to music. She had headphones in. She remembers that detail clearly. Something growled in her right ear. It was not part of the song. It did not match the rhythm or tone of what she was listening to. It was low, rough, and intimate in a way that made her body go rigid. She didn't scream. She didn't move. She didn't sleep. This was different from hearing her name. This felt invasive. By morning, she was exhausted and shaken. For the first time, the word demon crossed her mind. Not because she wanted drama, but because she didn't know what else to call something that sounded non-human. The next afternoon, while waiting for her dad to come home, the voices returned. They drifted in and out for nearly an hour, children again, whispering. She tried to ignore them. Then just before she stepped into her bedroom, she heard a little girl clearly. "Be careful." She didn't see anyone, but she knew exactly where the girl was standing, to her right, slightly shorter than she was. Close enough that if she reached out, she would have expected to feel something there. The specificity of that sensation frightened her more than the words. Later that week, she saw something. Twice. Once in her mom's living room, once in her dad's, she glimpsed a black figure standing where no one else was. It didn't rush toward her. It didn't move at all. It was simply there long enough for her brain to register shape before it vanished. 2 houses and 2 sightings. That confirmed something she had already suspected. It wasn't the buildings. It was her. That was when she told her religion teacher. He didn't mock her. He didn't escalate it into a horror story. He gave her something simple and practical. Pray to the Holy Spirit when you hear something or feel watched. Ground yourself. So she did. And gradually the intensity lessened. The voices didn't disappear overnight, but they became less constant. The sense of being followed softened. The growling never returned. Around that same time, her mom admitted something she had never said before. She could see spirits too, not regularly, not dramatically. But she had seen the shadow of their dog and heard him walking around her house 2 days before he died, even though he lived with her father at the time. She had sensed other family members before they passed, and her mom saw, she heard, and sensed. It didn't solve anything, but it reframed it. This wasn't random imagination, and it was a pattern, and patterns, even unsettling ones, are easier to live with than chaos. By the time she turned 14, her life had stabilized. She wasn't drowning in drama the way she had been in 7th grade. Her grades improved, her friendships steadied. The constant negative emotion that had once filled her chest eased. And as it did, the activity faded again. Not completely, but enough to breathe, until the day a locked door proved that something was still listening. By the time she was 14, the fear no longer arrived first. That was the most noticeable change. Where there had once been immediate panic at every unexplained sound, there was now caution instead. Experience had taught her something important. Whatever this was seemed to grow louder when she was overwhelmed and emotionally unsteady. When she was anxious, angry, or exhausted, the activity intensified. When she grounded herself through prayer, routine, or simply a steadier mood, It seemed to quiet. It did not disappear, but it softened. Life itself had become calmer. The middle school drama that once consumed her had settled into something manageable. Her grades improved. Friendships stopped feeling like constant battles. The heavy emotional weight she had carried at 12 began to lift, and with it, the constant feeling of being crowded by unseen voices faded into the background. The experiences during this period were no longer constant. They were intermittent and precise, almost like reminders. One night, she couldn't sleep in her own room. There was no dramatic reason. Nothing had happened. The space simply felt unsettled in a way she couldn't explain. The air seemed too still, too aware. Rather than fight the feeling, she carried her blanket and laptop into her brother's old bedroom down the hall. This was not the room that had once belonged to the baby who died. This was her living brother's former room after he moved out. It felt emotionally neutral, less layered with history. She sat on the edge of the bed and began typing, the soft tapping of keys filling the otherwise silent house. After some time, a boy's voice spoke her name. The sound was clear and close, positioned slightly behind her left shoulder. She did not see anyone, but she felt the exact location of the presence. The way one senses another person standing nearby without turning around. The voice did not shout or whisper urgently. It simply addressed her, steady and direct. She remained still. The emotion attached to the moment was not fear. It was something quieter and more complicated. For a brief instant, she allowed herself to consider that her deceased brother would be close to her age now. The thought rose naturally rather than dramatically. She did not say it aloud, nor did she attempt to test the idea. She waited for the voice to repeat itself. It did not. The room returned to silence, as ordinary as it had been before. The significance lingered, but the moment did not escalate. Weeks later, something more physical happened while she was watching a friend's dogs. She had gone to the house earlier that day to feed and walk them, locked the door when she left, and returned in the evening to repeat the routine. When she entered the house that night, one lamp in the living room was on. She paused immediately because she was certain she had turned it off that morning. She stood still and mentally retraced her steps. She remembered flipping the switch. She remembered locking the door. There was no reason for the light to be on. She told herself it must be automatic, perhaps connected to a timer she did not know about. She turned it off and continued with her routine. She opened the patio door to let one of the dogs outside while she prepared food. The door resisted as she slid it open, catching slightly in the track before giving way. She left it unlocked while the dog stepped into the yard. When she returned moments later to close it, the handle would not move. The door was locked. She stared at it, certain she had not touched the lock. She tested it again, pressing down more firmly. It remained locked. The dog scratched lightly at the glass, confused. The room around her was still and empty. Her pulse quickened, but she did not scream or run. Instead, she placed her hand on the door and spoke calmly. She asked whatever might be present to stop. She said she did not want trouble. She just needed to bring the dog back inside. When she tried the handle again, the lock had released. The door slid open with the same stiffness as before, but it opened. The dog came inside. The house returned to silence as though nothing unusual had occurred. That moment unsettled her more than the earlier voices. The voices could be explained away as internal. The lock could not. The timing felt deliberate, as though something had responded to her request. That possibility frightened her more than the idea of random malfunction. Nothing else happened that night. There were no shadows, no follow-up disturbances, no dramatic crescendo. The ordinariness that followed felt intentional in its own way, as though the interruption had completed itself. Since then, the activity has remained restrained. She occasionally feels watched when she is alone in a room. Sometimes the sensation carries unease. Other times it feels neutral, almost curious. She has learned to differentiate between anxiety and presence. Anxiety spirals. Presence feels located and steady. She no longer interprets every flicker or sound as supernatural. She accepts that some experiences have rational explanations, but she also recognizes the moments that do not feel random. She continues to pray. Not out of panic, but out of grounding. She avoids cemeteries and hospitals because they make her uneasy in ways she cannot explain. There is a staircase at school where she once heard children whispering in an empty hallway, and she chooses not to linger there. The experiences have never escalated into violence. They have never chased her or demanded attention beyond brief interruptions. What remains is quieter and more difficult to dismiss. The consistent sense that the world around her is not entirely empty, even when it appears to be. She does not believe she is in danger, but she has accepted that she may be more aware than most. Whether that awareness is spiritual sensitivity, heightened perception, or something her mind constructs under stress, she cannot say with certainty. What she does know is that when she speaks calmly, sometimes things stop. When she steadies herself emotionally, the activity lessens, and when she feels something watching her now, she no longer assumes it intends harm. Sometimes it feels like memory, sometimes it feels like curiosity, and sometimes it feels like something that has known her name for years.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day, only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.